Cannabis Business Minds, we train and mentor professionals, entrepreneurs, and aspiring entrepreneurs on how to confidently find their place in the legal cannabis and hemp industries. Come on and join us at CannabisBusinessMinds.com.
I'm really so excited to talk to you because you have been one of my, I think we started in the industry so close at the same time, both focused on community, focused on making a big change in Southern California cannabis.
That's so true. Yep, we did. Yeah.
Right. And now both of us don't live in Southern California.
No.
and I think we adopted the word pivot in our lives, in our businesses. And, you know, I'm excited to get a fresh start with you to talk about new stuff. Like we're talking about marketing. I'm excited to hear about Arizona, your move there. And I'm just excited to connect with you because it's been such a minute. And I know I only have you on 40 minutes of the podcast. So it's like, how do we catch up and educate at the same time? And hopefully a little bit of both. But Adelia, thank you so much for joining Cannabis Business Minds.
Of course. I'm so excited to be back. And yeah, especially to transition and talk about, you know, the updates and even to the, you know, the event marketing trends that we're seeing and what I've even learned along the way and what we should expect for next year. So this will be a good conversation. And, you know, I always love just hanging out with you. So even if we're virtual, we're still hanging out.
We're still hanging out and you've got a coffee. I've got a coffee. Yes. We're doing our thing. Yeah. I think the big thing is you moved to Arizona. I actually don't know much about the Arizona market and more states are just popping up. And could you, before we kind of dive into marketing, give us the lowdown of what's up with Arizona?
Yeah. I mean, so initially we didn't, I'll start with just a quick tidbit of why we moved here. Initially, we didn't move here for business, really. It was more, you know, California's expensive and there's a lot of different things and entrepreneurship, you know, is an up and down kind of roller coaster financially. Yeah. So initially, we wanted to make a change and Arizona was one of the top states. We visited here quite a few times. Once we started to finalize that move, they went recreational. So it was almost a bonus. It was a perfect fit, you know. Obviously, they were in medical, so it wasn't like they didn't have cannabis here or anything, or even a community or industry. But we are now at a point where we're getting to see kind of them transition into this market. Obviously, they've been doing it for quite a few months now. They have quite a few dispensaries that cater to the 21 and up sector specifically. But what it feels like is 10, I don't want to say they're, it's not a behind thing. It's, you know, it's just look 10 years of what California was, you know, because California became medical long time ago.
1996.
So there you go. So looking at that. And so that's kind of what it is. It's interesting to see them have a lot less regulations than California. So I initially thought that was good.
Yeah.
They do have their challenges like every market, you know, but what's interesting is that the license holders, and I'm still trying to make sure I explain it correctly, but the license holders, basically their license allows them to do almost everything.
In that one. So it's essentially the micro business license. Parlay that to a different regulation code, but they are able to be vertically integrated.
Yes.
Wow.
And rent their license, and it's not rent it. I guess somebody can work under them. Like another brand could then pay them to use their license to manufacture their product through them.
Wow.
So it's I think it's good. I hear challenges because of price points that can happen when you have that kind of model. But there's a lot of great individuals and brands that are looking to make change and really, you know, make the market here accessible.
That's good to all.
So I do have a lot of faith in where Arizona is going to go. Now, product wise, you know, coming again, California.
Yeah.
we're spoiled. They have some really cool brands, but you don't see this lineup of SKUs that we've that we have now come into in the California market, you know?
And I would have thought that it's close enough to California. We know that licensing deals where you've already established a really reputable brand in maybe a West Coast state, you're like, why not try to, especially with that like thing where you can work under a license, why not try to cut a deal so you have better products? But that's fascinating. We'll have to on another episode, maybe figure out why that is yeah. Unless you have any idea, like, have you seen any of the reputable, like bigger brands that have been in, you know, California on the shelves?
Definitely. I definitely do. You know, they're starting to come over.
Yeah.
And I don't want to like, The brands that we are seeing, they are very creative here. You know, they have a good quality product. But again, it's just that diversity of what we're used to in California. But we have seen like the Robes and quite a few of the vape and concentrate companies come through over here. Yeah. Obviously, you know, the big MSOs and those are obviously here too. But no, I think it's an interesting landscape. You know, the flower isn't as bad as like I thought it was going to be, you know, and no offense to them as well. But again, like I realize like California puts you in this cannabis bubble and you have certain like things and expectations. And when I came here, I'm like, wow, I love their products. Like, you know, and their flower is good. Like, okay, this is not a bad, you know, I can still get good cannabis here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good. That's so good. I mean, we were definitely spoiled. I mean, being in France, first, cannabis is completely illegal. I mean, they're doing medical trials. So it's like 35 years behind the United States, but at the same time, CBD is just like popping, but hardly any product selection. So I can totally get it. Before we kind of dive into marketing, is it, you know, like, again, we kind of did live in this bubble in LA, but there was a ton of events. Yeah. There was consumption. It felt like we were in the 1920s of just enjoying, imbibing. Like it was such a fiesta. How is the scene in terms of, you know, I guess we're talking much more about the recreational market than the medical, but how is it in terms of community and how is it in terms of, cause it was much more of a B2B kind of community that I'm talking about. And then getting those, I guess, adults aware of cannabis, like, what is it like?
So, you know, I think we're still in a kind of, not a downturn, but we're coming back from a downturn just because of, you know, the current with COVID.
Yeah.
That definitely hindered a lot of growth with the event landscape as a whole. A lot of the same events that, you know, were hosting, whether they were B2B or B2C, in 2019 and 2018, 2020, even now, we haven't seen a lot of them.
Yeah.
And I don't say they're not coming back. I think they are still, it's still kind of that limbo phase, you know?
Yeah.
And so I've talked to quite a few of them. A lot of them are looking at that 2022 timeframe, which is crazy to me because I'm like, a lot of these event organizers haven't produced events for 2 years, you know, like, and that's a business. That's a part of their revenue.
Yeah.
But what we're seeing though is, because of COVID, there has been that more focus of community. You know, I saw so many event organizers over the past 2 years produce free events prior, you know, more than they would have previously.
Yeah.
And not to undervalue their work. They did it again because they understood that, you know, people don't have as many jobs. Maybe they're not getting paid as much, just the whole thing, the landscape. And they just wanted to connect people again. So that is actually very, very exciting and very good to see, because you're right. We had such a big uptick of so many events, but it was very B2B, like saturated, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that's the interesting thing is, like, you know, now I think about things completely different. It's like people are giving away their time. And that is now, obviously it's more valuable than money. And so now an event, it's either, you know, if you kind of break down, and maybe we could start kind of just diving into kind of like events, and then we can kind of talk about marketing in a bit. But, you know, if you had to categorize the events that you see in cannabis, what type of categories are you thinking? Like, there's the trade shows, but what else is there?
So there's festivals, there's dinners, there's retreats where, so that's one of the ones, retreats and more intimate gatherings is on an uptick. And that's, I think, not going to change for a while. I think people are going to be more comfortable in more, you know, intimate settings for a while. We'll still see these bigger events, but on top of those, you are going to have, you know, the health and wellnesses, you're going to have the networking and mixers, you're going to have these educational. And when I say educational, it's different than like the conferences. It's more of those, you know, maybe learning how to build a compliant business in with Michigan or something.
Deco, you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. So we're seeing more workshop educational events as well. Obviously, you have also even the seshes. You know, that's part of the culture. That's something that has always been around. But we have these categories, but what's amazing is still seeing the creativity. You're probably familiar, but it's still one that always rings the top of my mind, you know, the sushi and doobie, where you learn how to roll a joint and you learn how to roll a sushi roll.
Oh my God. I never went to this. It's amazing.
That was in, it was by Barbie from High Dining in Orange County, I believe she did it, or LA. But, you know, it's fascinating to see the creativity that people do within those even categories. Oh. And, you know, so, and that's, again, I think it's going to enhance. Now that events are starting to come back, I think there's going to be an uptick again, going into that experiential marketing. So yeah, we're going to see a lot more brands again, hosting events, just because it gets them right in front of their audience in a very intimate way. Yeah, you know,
exactly. And I think it's like, then you just go now into the thought about marketing. It's like, well, each brand has a different target audience. Every vehicle that they're producing has a different, you know, person that's going to want it. So you're right. It gets very exciting in a new market, because I know Event High is it's a national platform, right? Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yep. Okay. Yeah. 48 so states, almost fully.
Oh my God. That's a, well, we got to talk, we'll talk about kind of onboarding and that growth in a bit, but you know, the big thing that still just is crazy to me is, you know, 67% of Americans were in favor of cannabis in like 2017, right? And that was some form of legalization. Like that number keeps going up. But the more I continue to hear this, there's still a lack of education. And are you seeing that the events are a good way to, you know, educate Susie's or educate, you know, people that might never have thought about cannabis as a vehicle for, you know, mental health, a vehicle for stress, a vehicle for an alternative lifestyle, or, you know, a supplement to wine? Like, how are you seeing brands get into the eyes of these people?
So definitely. So I have two examples that came to mind as you're talking. You know, we have the, you know, everybody thinks of, you know, when you think of events, they'll think first of like the big B ones or like the festivals or, yep, you know, but we are now seeing, you know, these communities being developed around these events. This is Jane Project, which is more for healing and PTSD and providing a safe space for women to heal also while incorporating cannabis. So they are able to attract, you know, or work with more maybe medicinal cannabis brands that want to, you know, really focus on that audience to really help heal from a medicinal aspect. Or one that I recently just learned about is called Senior High.
Oh.
And it goes after the senior community. Like, and they have these creative events that they are doing, and they're hitting that, you know, 60, maybe 70 plus audience.
Yeah.
And I want to say that they're thriving. They're in Palm Springs. They're actually creating these communities for it. And they're working with the brands that are like the Papa and Barclays, again, that have those ratios, you know, maybe the one-to-ones or, you know, specific products, maybe even capsules over smoking brands.
Yeah.
So it is, again, interesting to see that. And I think, you know, prior to 2020, we were going that direction where, which is unfortunate because we did drop off, like you're saying, education, like it has dropped drastically. And it was still, you know, needed a lot of work back in 2019, 2018. But 2020 definitely, you know, hindered a lot of that growth. So I do see that we're going to start to see more communities around events, around brands that will be specifically finding their audience.
I think it's brilliant because I have this in one of my educational things is like Instagram is not marketing. And I want people to realize that. I mean, I think that now people, if they're looking into like, oh, if they're building a brand, let's say, and they're just starting out, they think about, oh, I have to be on Instagram or I have to be on TikTok. But what people need to realize, I mean, we can talk a little bit about this, is that whoever your target market is, you have to understand where they're going to be. And then you build your strategy around that, not, oh, I'm going to be an Instagram influencer. And none of your audience, if they're like 70 plus, are even knowing how to use Instagram. Yes. So I think there's this like, you know, I think that I want whoever's listening to this, and if they're thinking about a brand, really to embrace event marketing, because that's how I grew my business. I love events.
Yeah. It builds community. It builds that connection. And, you know, we're just seeing that we believe so much in events because it does have that educational component. You know, any type of event, no matter whether it is focused on, you know, it's a festival or even an infused dinner, or all the way to the conferences and the workshops, they're all providing some form of education. You know, when you're at the dinners, you have the chef who's educating you on, you know, the dosing and what they have done and provided to you. And then you also start to understand the balance and how you can incorporate, you know, infusing your food if you maybe need that or you prefer that. You know, so every event really does have some sort of realm of educating for this plant. And that's what's really exciting to see is those can, you know, thrive for brands to meet their audience, but then also continue creating some education around the plant.
Yeah, absolutely. Cause yeah, I think that's marketing, right? You're not going to just sell them to directly educate, explain what you have to offer. It's the whole 12 touch points, the IDA funnel, all that. Yes. Oh, totally.
And you said the touch points. I love that. I was like, yes. Yeah.
Okay, but let's educate. So can you explain to somebody like, what is an IDA funnel? Why do we need to educate before we need to sell? I think that's a big, let's talk about that, because I know for a lot of entrepreneurs, we think sell, which is great. We do, but there's a big distinction between selling and marketing.
Well, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is also just the trust component. There's just so many brands or products that people have been disappointed with, to be honest, you know, and two, even where we're going even closer to the cannabis plant. Exactly. Like, we need to educate that too, because, you know, back in the day and maybe even in some of these newer states, they're still thinking that they need the highest, 100 like TH, like just like milligrams, you know, like they want the highest and they think that's what's going to help them. And it does help some patients, you know, some patients do need the higher dose cannabis brands and products. So they're always going to be needed, but there is still that thing where people are thinking that it's more of a, I don't know what the right word is. So, but it's, you know, we want to educate that. No, you don't have to just dose at that high level, you know, people, microdose, people maybe only need 25 milligrams. Like it all varies on the human being and the individual. And even then it varies. Cause what if you didn't eat that day? What if you're not feeling well? There's just so many variables. So that's one part of it, but so the trust factor is huge, in that area. I'm trying to think what else.
Well, I think, I mean, trust is, I think, the biggest point, because especially the vape crisis made me, when you said trust, I was like, oh, absolutely. And trust is a huge thing. And I mean, it takes 12 touch points to buy. Yeah. Right. And so again, people in the cannabis space are in this for the long term, right? If you're probably in the business, you're trying to build it for long term, but you also want to look at who your client/customer is going to be. And typically they are, you know, if you, let's, we can use an example of like a wine drinker, somebody who loves their rosé, right? That person, maybe they are gaining weight. Maybe they're drinking too much. Maybe they've been using that rosé to be less stressed out. But they probably get that rosé more than a few times a month. And if they decided to use cannabis, they're not, and they enjoyed it and they got the same effect and they were noticing how great they started to feel and open their mind and all the benefits of cannabis. Well, they probably would adopt usage of cannabis more than that one time. What, like, you know, so it's not, so you're almost, I would say that trust building is a factor of you're building a lifelong relationship with these clients, with these customers or with these clients.
That's so true. That's so true. And I think too, even, you know, what we're starting to see or even some of these reports that are coming out is there are a lot of people who are in that exact model where they want to get rid of that afternoon cocktail because of many different variables. And so there is a huge market for the specific brands that can really cater to them. You know, the beverage, cannabis beverages is taking a huge like uptick in here in the US.
Wow.
Like everybody is, it's a, they're calling it one of the, you know, the bigger markets that's going to really bloom and blossom. Headset did a whole data analytic report about the beverage sector of the industry. And I think that's also going to make it almost an easier introduction for a lot of people, you know, because we are so used to this alcohol like focus market where they just brand alcohol everywhere to you. So that's going to be interesting how they incorporate that. And, but it's also going back to what we're seeing and at Event High is it also makes sense with events, you know, having mocktails there.
Absolutely.
You know, and so, yeah, it's exciting to see what is going to happen and how these brands or even event organizers are really going to utilize these platforms to not only build community and educate, but further these brands that they maybe collaborate with or that they're building themselves.
Yeah. And that just made me realize like what a cool opportunity is to work with you. I remember I introduced you to one of my clients and I hope that you guys get to work together because there is such an opportunity. If somebody's listening and they're not a plant touching business, they don't have a cannabis license, but they operate in a state where cannabis is legal. They could build a business where they are a cannabis educator and they could use your platform and they could start and I wouldn't even call it an event business. They would start an education business.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like, I think I think it's so cool. And, you know, there's a lot of newbies that have been starting to listen to the podcast where, you know, cannabis is just legalized, but it's not necessarily implemented, regulated, all that stuff. And so my whole thought is you still need to get out there right now, start building that voice. And that is a great opportunity is to start doing events.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to look at you, you know, it's that educational component. They're going to look at you as a leader because you are taking that step and educating them on a certain topic, or building community or connecting them to other, you know, this maybe the speakers that they're bringing in. You know, they're going to always know that you bring in the right people to educate them. Maybe we don't know everything. So we bring in other people who can provide that insight in these experiences.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So tell everybody about Event High and what, and specifically what your role is, because you transitioned from, you know, running DCN Network. And I know you learned a ton about marketing there to then pivoting and really taking the role of CMO for Event High. So talk to us a little bit about that transition and what you're up to.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously that was my DCN, was, as you're saying, a digital media platform. We catered to entrepreneurs, startups and tech. And I was in that whole marketing world, you know, building this media company. I ended up closing that company, which was the hardest transition. My first baby in a sense, you know, your first business. And, but this opportunity that I saw came in and, you know, Event High was needing a CMO for their company. And what I loved was that they're obviously two different models. They're completely different businesses, but they had a lot of similarities in the mission of bringing people together, community and education. So I took this opportunity and I was like, you know what? I think this would be great. You know, I could, I also prior to that with DCN, I hosted events. Prior to that, I was in event production. So there was a lot of things that I felt like even I could help educate, you know, utilizing the marketing sector and educate to event organizers on how to, you know, produce events or why events are important or why brands should sponsor events. So I ended up saying yes to that position. And basically what Event High is we are an online ticketing platform. We are similar to Eventbrite, but we cater in the cannabis sector. We provide event organizers tools to sell tickets and sponsorships for their cannabis events. And the reason this is needed is because even today, mainstream ticketing platforms are still shutting down cannabis events, you know, for a variety of reasons, but it always goes back to the transaction. Yeah. And so that's kind of the realm of it. And we've been able to overcome that because we were able to get a bank and we have a marijuana related business bank account that allows us to specifically transact tickets and sponsorships. We are, you know, it's exciting to see that we survived COVID. That's the biggest thing, you know, like right now.
Yeah. I was going to say, can you share some of like the one thing that got you by, like, what was that? Because it's pretty hard in an event space when your revenue model is based off of that. Like, what was it that got you guys by?
Honestly, it was the team and pivoting. Distracted us, I think, from the reality of what was going on because we pivoted to virtual events. We ended up offering event organizers tools where we would produce their event with them. So they didn't have to learn the software. You know, they could just focus on what they do, which is creating the whole aspect of it, promoting it, marketing it, getting the content needed for the events. We also started educating a lot. We were jumping into Clubhouse. We were hosting our own virtual events, all catering those specifically, though, to event organizers. And, you know, just talking about what was going on. Yeah. What is happening state by state? What did the future look like? And those two things really did keep us going. Like it really did. The virtual events, honestly, to be frank, saved Event High. Like we didn't have any other, you know, other income really coming in. The education component was more of a community approach. We knew we needed to be there for our community just as much as they were there for us. You know, so it was the education that we were out there doing. I think, you know, it was good intentions, but now looking at it, it also helped the business. It had us meet a lot of new people, and we're excited for that because now that events are coming back, we're able to really work with these new event organizers, or, you know, brands now know about the sponsorship feature that maybe they wouldn't have because there was maybe just too much noise before 2020, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I feel like now is the time too, because, you know, you think about, there's a lot of brands out there. You're in 48 states. It's hard to really, you know, get if you don't have a strategy for social media and you have the risk of getting it shut down, you can't run Facebook ads, or maybe you've figured out a hack. Maybe you don't even know your target market, right? Event marketing is the way to go in cannabis. And so I feel like it almost might have given you like one door closed.
Yeah.
But then a whole nother door opened. And now that other door that closed is opening up, but maybe you have a different perspective on it.
Yes.
So it seems like you guys might have just like gotten stronger and ready for what 2022 and the future is going to be in cannabis.
You nailed it. Like, exactly. Like I'm, because we were supposed to start our round in 2020. And I go back and I tell, you know, our team, I'm like, or not the whole team, but like, Ollie, the CEO and my business partner, you know, thank goodness, like we didn't close that round, because what if we would have expanded the company so much and then we got hit with the COVID landscape, like, would we have been able to survive like we did, you know, because we're lean. We're a lean company. Everybody, you know, really stepped up as a team to come together for this through the past 2 years, but we're still a small team doing this.
Yeah.
And so if it was different, I don't know if we would have had the same story, you know? So it is. And two, now there's a lot of things that are coming together for our company where we, we have a new CTO who has joined the team, and he got us back to our roadmap of where we wanted to be, close to where we wanted to
be. Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, within the first 2 months of next year, we're going to have a V1 of Event High. So, just a cleaner user and experience and interface, and just things are going to, you know, people are going to start seeing that things are changing, you know, and it's been a long road to get there. So we're we're doing all this work behind the scenes right now of redesign and all these little things that we're like, this is what we missed and what we wanted doing for so long.
Oh, totally. Well, it's like, you know, HubSpot, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So HubSpot is such a great resource for every entrepreneur because they give you so much stuff that helps you in your business that's free. And I almost think like if somebody's listening to this, is like, you also have to think about your customers from every aspect of where they might need you and pain points that you have. And it just seems like what you've been able to do, like, yes, you're focused on the customer experience, but just thinking about it, like, you really helped your customers go and your clients go through the COVID transition, offering them the education, offering them all this stuff. And I think that in your toolbox, plus the new user integration, the user interface, because girl, design is everything in the digital age.
You got to
have a website that captures, that delivers. If you don't now, you are off the train, unfortunately, unless you are so solicited that people can get you and you have a line out the door for whatever you're offering. But I think that's really big. But I checked out the website before our podcast. It's clean. It's good. It's,
we need to fix some, you know, obviously.
Always. Yeah. Always. Oh my God. I can look at a landing page all the time. I redo my landing pages all the time. I'm like, girl, that is not your role. Your role is to do something else. But yeah, I get it. Curious. So as a CMO, I was thinking about all these things. Your goal and your role really is to educate and probably teach. It's interesting. Like, it seems like it's twofold. So help me understand it. Like, it's to educate your clients probably about marketing and helping them with event marketing, but it's also to market the business. So more people are aware of what Eventbrite is or Event High is. Talk to me about, you know, how do you spend your time and how do you actually build that awareness of Event High to people who don't know anything about it?
So I'm actually in the middle of, you know, finalizing our Q1 and Q2 marketing like strategy for next year. And so how I'll do like a high level, but it's actually, and it's interesting now that I see it, it's actually three marketing kind of portals that I have.
Okay.
Because we have to build out a marketing strategy to educate and find new event organizers.
Yeah.
Then we have to build a marketing strategy to connect with brands to learn about the sponsorships that the event organizers are selling. and then from there, it's the attendees, because if there's no ticket sales, how is the event, you know, the events are not going to come. Yeah. So there's really three marketing strategies we have to build out, whether it's new ones that we're trying to attract or, you know, educate the ones that are already using our platform.
Exactly.
So I'm trying to figure out great little tricks that I can do, you know, because I you know, our team, again, we're still a pretty lean team. So there's still a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
So I'm like, how can I create these three different messages, but almost they're still similar, but just the verbiage is different, you know?
Yeah.
But you also made a great point too, is that they're everywhere and they're all ages. So like, it is a little bit harder to really get into that specific like audience. You know, obviously we have enough data now to be like, okay, you know, who are the ones that are usually hosting events, you know, their age wise, you know, so you have some stats now with that. So that kind of helps, you know, us to be able to get to have an idea of where they're at and create a great strategy to get them. But attendees and brands, it's a little bit tougher, to be honest.
Oh my God. Well, I'm just thinking like, well, it's Pareto's principle, 80-20, focus on the ones that are generating the most revenue. If you probably looked at your sales, it's, you know, 80% of your sales is coming from 20% of the customers. And, you know, I remember hearing this is like, well, obviously you can't target everybody. So if you target the cream of the crop, usually people end up following. Like I found out with my business, I'm selling financial like boot camps and all this stuff. Well, guess who takes my classes? It's not who I designed it for. I designed it for entrepreneurs, accountants. Which makes sense. It makes sense because, like, you know, and it made me realize, okay, I have to either change my messaging or I just focus on them. But yeah, it's fascinating to think about how you would really build your strategy with limited team, with limited funds, right? That's very cool. And I'm like, I want to like brainstorm with you maybe offline about some stuff, but yeah, I mean, it's almost like, you know, you'd almost could say like all of the new emerging markets, unless it's, I probably wouldn't focus there almost, right? Like it seems like you almost want to be where you know that there are more events. Yeah, you're right. You got a lot on your plate.
Yeah. I know. I'm like, how am I going to get this right? You know, for next year though, we are our big in Q1, we really want to focus on just that we're transitioning, we're changing, yes. You know, we're enhancing Event High. Because, you know, to be real too, like we know we don't have all the bells and whistles yet. And that's again part of the journey as a business, as an entrepreneur. You know, you start somewhere.
100%. Yeah.
You learn what works, you learn what doesn't work. You know, if you're on the software side or website development side, there's gonna be bugs, there's gonna be things that you always have to do, but you have to listen to your audience and what they really want.
Yeah.
And what we did, you know, we have it used to be a whiteboard, and then now we're in a different space. Now we have our home offices, but we used to have a whiteboard. Now it's in a huge Excel document, and we literally have tracked every feedback, comment, user experience that people have informed us about or maybe liked, you know, and we start to tally them so that we can kind of understand a lot more of what does work and what doesn't, because we can guess all day. You know that we can, like you just said, you had the perfect example. You thought that your business was going to bring more entrepreneurs, but it brought the different entrepreneurs. And so that's what's also making us realize when it comes to the features, like, oh, we thought everybody would want this or need this, when in reality they need X, you know? And so I'm excited to even be able to have these conversations right now and just see that we are able to continue moving forward with Event High. Cause the biggest thing is we're creating that community for others to create communities, you know, within these states. And
And then also, because I'm the numbers gal, what I like to always think about is, you know, breaking down, especially like your revenue goals. And then I guess your owner income goals, all that kind of stuff. And then your revenue goals, and then back ending like, okay, well, you know, if you go with the one service, your one revenue stream of transactions, right? How many transactions do you need? Then thinking about that data. Then I just think, God, people need your services. And I'm curious if that's something that you're offering, if you're thinking about offering, is just like, you know, handholding for event marketing, because that is a huge opportunity, but a huge need that I think a lot of these businesses have.
So we haven't thought about the, you know, teaching on the event, like on the marketing side of it. We thought of it more of just like as a free, like a something that we provided, because, you know, you said transactions, and that's the reality of what Event High is. We're a transactional model. We make our revenue off of fees. And so we need a lot of tickets to make revenue. However, you know, what we've also found along the way is The brand sponsorship packages are, again, it's still transactional, but those are usually higher tiered price points.
Yeah.
And then advertising. So advertising, even within events, event organizers are looking to get on the homepage, are looking to get in certain demographics. So we're able to now utilize, you know, our community and market these events specifically to who they're looking at. You know, we can, maybe that's, it's a retreat and their tickets are $5,000. Yeah. We have the data to where we can be like, okay, this audience has, you know, went to similar events and they've spent this ticket type. We don't give them the data, but we now can market their event to them and potentially help increase sales for them.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're starting to see other avenues of revenue. We haven't, again, like I said, thought about the marketing, you know, maybe down the road. I think once we have a bigger team, I think that is something, you're right. As we start to have more of this insight, you know, maybe there are programs or things that would be helpful, you know, because it's hard building events, but it can also be harder building events in cannabis because, again, you know, you were mentioning Facebook ads, all these things that we have hurdles from. Even events have the same hurdles cannabis brands do. You know, if it's a cannabis event.
So. Oh yeah. It's so frustrating. Have you dipped into psychedelics at all in terms of event marketing, or are you strictly doing cannabis?
So that actually came, we started seeing them pop up on Event High during COVID, virtual events that were happening.
Yeah.
You know, and it's still kind of a weird market, but a lot of the events that are psychedelic focused that are on Event High are just educational. So we have that safety. They haven't crossed over to where, you know, it could affect, like, we have a strict compliance that we have to follow and regulate in our bank, you know? So luckily, like where we're at with the psychedelics realm is we can work with a lot of these events because they're educational focused or they're business focused in the sense of like conferences. We started to see them happen last year. We actually are starting to build relationships with these newer conferences that are happening in the hopes that maybe next year they'll look at an Event High to utilize. You're seeing the cross, the two industries are cross-lining. We're seeing a lot of entrepreneurs going into that market in the cannabis space. So it's been interesting to see that.
Oh my God. All right. Well, I already looked at the clock. I'm like, oh my gosh, talking with you, it goes by so fast. So I want to get your advice. If you could give some piece of marketing advice to a cannabis business, what is it? One piece.
To a cannabis business, one piece of advice. I know we keep touching on it, but you know, really look how you are educating. You know, educating your brand. That is what is going to thrive in this industry for a variety of reasons. But I think that is something that you really have to focus on is how are you educating the community, not only about your brand, but just in general about the plant. I think that's really important for all businesses, entrepreneurs, advocates, patients. Like, I think we all need to do that.
Yeah.
And, but more on top of it, brands, we are going into it's transitioning into where there's a lot more corporations coming into this industry, and it can lessen a lot of these smaller businesses can get acquired, or maybe they have to close. But if you have that community, you can prevail and they will support you. Why do we go to Trader Joe's maybe over a Walmart? Or, you know, why do people go to even, we have those, we have our selections, and it's because of the way that they've marketed and educated us or the services that they provided to us. So I think that's something to really look at.
Absolutely. Are you ready for the speed round?
Yes.
Great. Why did you make the jump from corporate to cannabis?
It was a personal moment. You know, I ended up having an ectopic pregnancy, and that changed my life both physically and emotionally. And you know, going through that, I realized that I was only going to get so far in the corporate world. I was in the consumer electronic industry, and I just didn't see that I was going to be able to really scale for a very long time in my role or even in my pay. I worked for a great company, but you know, there's still people above you. You're only going to get so far.
Yep.
And I was killing myself. I was working so hard. And I finally was like, you know, I think as I learned more about the plan, I was like, I saw a missing piece and I was like, I think I can do this, you know, or I'm going to give it a shot. And so it was really just my personal experience that led me to leaving corporate America and just jumping in and seeing, you know, leaving all those like little perks that I was so scared to leave for so long, you know, that secure, those benefits, that paycheck, everything. But it honestly was for the right reason. I became a completely different person and I pushed myself so much more than I ever could in a regular job.
Yeah. That's how you create your own opportunity.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. What has working in the industry taught you?
What has working in the industry taught me? It's taught me a lot about how strong I am as a person. You know, there's a lot of good players in this industry, but there's also a lot of bad ones. And it made me realize that, you know, in the beginning, I was like, yes, we're all in this together. And, you know, we felt that, I think, in the beginning in California. As we all grew our businesses, but as things evolve, you know, and corporations come in more and money changes and regulations get harder, like people do things in stressful times that, you know, may not be in the right way. And so it just made me realize how to think more as a business owner and more strategic and ask more questions and just protect myself in getting a contracts and agreements. You know, even now, if I work with someone, I can still respect them and trust them. And I let them know that, but a contract, some sort of agreement in place that's written and both signed is vital. And it doesn't mean I don't trust you or disrespect you. It's for both of us, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. Especially if you ever want to sell your business, if you ever are trying to, if anyone ever looks at your books, you have to have a contract in place. So
exactly.
Such a good point. What is one thing you wish you told yourself when you first got started in the industry?
I think, you know, what is one thing that I wish I taught myself was as an entrepreneur, as a startup entrepreneur, I was bootstrapped, but I also worked a lot of side jobs, but I undervalued those side jobs and I wasn't smart about it. I would get really low pay side jobs that could help barely make me survive and living, which caused a lot more stress on the entrepreneur journey on top of being an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And so I wish I taught myself to value myself and what I actually bring to the table. You know, I think I lost, you know, I forgot about what I was doing before the cannabis space. I mean, the corporate world, what my job actually was, because I was just doing side jobs that were just, you know, bare minimum. And I felt like maybe I could have just had a better side consulting gig that would have paid better instead of trying to rush around, do all these other things on top of building a business. So yeah, value who I was and know the strength, what I can actually do.
And you can bring so much, because the one thing we didn't talk about with DCN is talk to us about the numbers that you got, because it was so impressive. Like how many subscribers, it was huge. And so like, just when people are listening, I want them to realize like, Adalia knows her stuff.
I don't remember. Like, I know the kind of general of it, but we actually were in all 50 states and we were in over 20 something countries where we had viewers and readers, you know, checking out our content, which again was just so important, because I'm like, people want to know about these businesses and their why and what they're doing. You know, we had about, I think, 75,000 45 subscribers on our newsletter list.
45,000.
And we had over a 30% open rate in newsletters, which is above average, which was crazy to me. You know, like I, it was just awesome. And, you know, I look back and I'm like, I see all these amazing content creators coming in now and all these channels. And I'm like, I think we were just a little too early. That's the reality. I think, you know, because those shows we created, you know, you joined us on those shows. Yeah. They were actually entertaining and good. Like I'm like, I wish we could, you know, maybe in the future they'll come back. You know, we still have the logo. We still have all that stuff. So there might be a future for DCN, but those are just some of the ones that I can think of. Yeah. We had a really good audience and community worldwide, which was crazy.
It's so important. And I think, I think you and I both were a little too early on our first ventures.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is too bad. Right. Because I think that, you know, also it's just, there's still so many states that have to actually implement regulation. Like it's just, we're still at the beginning of the marathon. And it felt like then we were still at the beginning, but we were a little bit farther. And so I think it's invaluable though, like what you were able to build, the relationships that you have, all that kind of stuff. It's key. And I think that you probably, I'd be so curious of that list, how many people are still in Canvas?
I don't think many, unfortunately. Yeah. I hope, or if they are, you know, their companies have changed or they're doing something different. I would hope that they are, but you know, the reality too, even looking back at some of the, you know, our old content, our old photos, I'm like, oh my gosh, they're no longer in the industry
do you remember, by the way, this is now a conversation. I think we have to record. This is like the most editing I think I've ever done. We're recording like a goodbye and I actually have to go in a second and then we have to have another conversation.
Yes, definitely. We'll do another one.
But like, do you remember like Tradif and like all of this, like, and now they're gone. It's just like, I just remember being like, oh my God, they got so much funding. And then
that's exactly. Yeah. I'm like, how, like just all that, they had so much funding. I'm like, oh, they're it. They're going to be it.
They're the one. And then it's just like, no. And I think what that means is that it's really the team, it's market fit, it's team, it's cash flow. It's all of these things that make a business successful.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing too. I'm like, you know, and some people, and don't worry, I get discouraged too sometimes. I mean, we just started opening our round, but too, it's like, you know, I'm like, we should be some, you know, we wanted to be here at this point.
Yeah.
But the reality is too, I look back and again, like I said earlier, I'm like, if we did it earlier, we might've not survived COVID, you know?
Exactly.
So there's a reason for the stories and why we all go through them and the decisions. And it's just our mentality of like, you know, if you're still 100% in it in your heart, keep going.
Exactly. You know? Oh, that's so important because it gets so hard. It gets so lonely. It's hard in cannabis. Like you said, like, I think that when you think people are maybe an ally and then they're not, and I think in this space, you really do have to protect yourself, your business. You want to share, but you also need to keep things a little bit close to your chest. Like, I think that's for me was like the biggest lesson to learn. And it's like, I approached everything with such an innocence because I trusted, you know, I trusted a lot of people and it was, you know, I trusted maybe some of the people I shouldn't have trusted. And that's hard when you want to like everybody.
Exactly. Yeah. And, or even too, like you said, those, you know, it's not, they always teach us, you know, don't not tell people your business, like your business, but there are certain things that like, maybe you're having those conversations where you might be working with someone and then you tell them too much. And it's like, there's certain things you just have to still be mindful of, you know?
It's so unfortunate, right? When in the end, it's like, you just are here to live life and enjoy and try to chase your dreams and make a profit while doing it. It's just, it's crazy. The one thing I did want to share with you is, you know, the global wellness tourism industry is valued at $800 billion.
No way.
Girl, that's
the wellness.
Yeah. Global wellness tourism.
Wow.
So I think that what you guys, hello. I think that what you guys are doing is like, you're right on it. And in my mind, it seems like you look at those numbers and you figure out, you know, if you're telling me like people are spending $5,000 on these retreats, look at the numbers, see where that 80-20 rule goes, and maybe you focus there because it is hard, right? Like I would love to like just brainstorm with you because this is so fun. And I'm obsessed with marketing. Maybe you can give me for like what I'm working on, because it's easier to work with, it's easier to talk to somebody about their business than it is to do it on your own. It's just, it's so crazy. But girl, I think like if you guys are pitching, you put that in the deck, because, and maybe even just like if you're having some strategy session, just look into that a little bit more, because I'm imagining you guys have a good model. Like, I think it's just, you know, I don't know your numbers, any of that stuff, but just obviously people are liking it. People are using it.
Yeah.
I know you're lean, but just remember that stat, because you'll figure out that sweet spot.
Well, in the first, so 2019, and obviously we're not there anymore, but by 2019, we already processed 2.5 million. Like that was like our first year, you know, and obviously, you know, we're processing, so we're only getting a component, but that, but to me, still, I mean, that's still a huge number, you know? That's
such a big number.
Yeah. And so, I'm like, just imagine when these events are back to full scale, you know, and our sponsorship feature is more public because it's been in beta for so long. That's the one that brings more revenue because we make more on the processing fees and stuff. Yeah. So it's just like, it's an exciting time. And it's just really tightening all that. I'd be happy. And I want to be mindful of your time and stuff, but I would love to share with you our like just deck, and just if you have any feedback, if you want.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's schedule another date. And then I can walk you through what I'm working on, because I would love feedback. Literally, yes, I am in a freaking silo here. It is like, I need to work with somebody. It's just more of like sharing stuff and all that stuff. So yes, let's schedule another day. Okay.
Just talking it through, like you said, you know, but somebody else just listens to it. Like,
yes,
you never know. So I would
critical
love to
feedback, all that kind of stuff. Oh my God. Yes. Cool. So before people know where to find you, all that kind of stuff, please let me know, like, what are you excited for 2022? Like, what's on your professional agenda? Like, let us know what's going on for the next year.
So I am just excited to see, you know, events come back full force. We really see, we're looking at the data and we're starting to see that there is such a new interest and that they're believing that events are going to continue after, you know, the beginning of Q2 is when we're going to start to see that jump again. For EventHigh specifically though, it's just, we're finally getting to that V1, and that V1 is just going to transition and take so much off of our team members' plates that we can actually focus on the areas that we are meant to within the company. So I feel like that is going to help us thrive even further. Those are the two areas.
Those are huge.
That I'm excited about.
That's so exciting. And then how can people find you, you know, what you're up to, and how could they work with you?
Yeah. So, if you want to learn more, you know, about the cannabis events and what's going on at EventHigh, it's www.eventhigh.io. If you want to connect with me, on social, I'm on all the social media platforms, LinkedIn, just look for Adelia Carrillo. And then on Instagram and Twitter, it's @MissAdelia. I am up. I always love to connect. You'll be able to see some of the journey. I share about the, you know, the good, the bad, actually. And I did this presentation at your event, the good, the bad, and the sleepless. It's still a part of that journey. I'm still talking about all the ups and downs of entrepreneurship, and love to connect.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for listening to this week's show. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you enjoyed this, leave us a 5-star review. Make sure that you share this episode on your social media and tag us in the Instagram stories. You can find us wherever you go on social media. Just look up Cannabis Business Minds. Have an idea for the show or something that you want to talk about? Shoot us an email at podcast@cannabisbusinessminds.com.